Greetings, everyone. Welcome to House Mountain Views and to the Boone series. Boone is an East Tennessee teenager on his own at 16 and facing long odds. His daddy taught him rage and not to trust anybody. His mother taught him to keep his head down and hope nobody notices him. Now they're both gone, and what he knows about making it as an adult is next to nothing. He's basically a decent kid, but he's carrying around so much anger and insecurity that sometimes it's hard for him to do the right thing, even when he can figure out what that is. Pushing Back, Matching Scars, and Keeping Secrets, the three books in the series so far, are all written from Boone's point of view. My name is Jim Hartzell, and I hope you enjoy getting to know Boone as much as I have. Thanks for joining us. Pushing Back, Book 1 in the Boone series by Jim Hartzell. Chapter 34. It's a rifle, but not like any rifle I've ever seen before, like something out of a history book. I brush off the dust and sight down the barrel, then examine the trigger and workings, not knowing exactly what I'm looking for until I find it. There's a metal plate right above the trigger, and when I get the light on it and brush the last of the dust away, I see a date. 1856. Damn, I say to myself, this rifle might be from the Civil War. That's really all I know about this kind of thing, so I don't even try to figure it out. I know I've got something really old here, and maybe worth a lot of money. This has to be what Gamaliel was talking about. I put it in the truck and go back into the shed. I spend another few minutes in there, not expecting to find anything else. The glass jug and funnel and the box of charcoal I put in the truck, too. The box is almost empty, and I have no idea where to get any more. I need to get Gamaliel to tell me these things. For the last time, I go back into the shed and look around. The wall opposite the shelves is piled with broken stuff. Old shovels, hoses that I'm guessing have splits in them, a tiller that looks like it hadn't been started for 20 years. Nothing really valuable as far as I can see. The back wall has one of those pegboards that holds tools, and it's about half full of hammers, saws, and stuff like that. There's a 4-foot level leaning against the pegboard. On the floor next to where the glass jug was is an old cardboard box about 2 feet square and 1.5 feet high. It's covered in dust and cobwebs and has a stack of old magazines on it. I pick up one of the magazines and dust it off. It's an old National Geographic. The date says 1977. There's about 10 or 11 of them in the stack. I pick them up and set them on the floor next to the box. Where the magazines used to be, there's a rectangle with no dust on it, and I can see the top of the box. No label of any kind. Nothing that would tell me what was in it. I'm about to pick up the box when there's a knock on the shed door. I spin around. Nancy's standing there with Frankie. "Hello, Boone," she says a little uncertainly. "Hope you don't mind. I thought you might be up here." "Frankie's a great dog, aren't you, girl?" She has her hand on top of Frankie's head, and the dog looks like she's died and gone to heaven. I can't help but smile. For a second, I'm thinking, I do mind. This is private, none of her business. I look up at her and I think, what the hell? And I wave it off. "No, I don't mind, Nancy," I say, and nod toward Frankie. Doesn't look like she minds either. She scratches the top of Frankie's head, and the dog nuzzles Nancy's hand, and then hears something and takes off. She steps into the shed and looks around. "Did those two guys steal anything from in here?" she asks. "I've been looking around, trying to figure that out," I say. "Not as far as I can tell." "So if everything's okay, come on outside. I want you to show me where you chased off those guys, she says. I look at her and she's backing away from the shed door and holding out her hand. I look down at the box and think, I'll get that later, and step out into the light. There's a good breeze blowing. Nancy has on a coat wrapped tight around her. I'm definitely feeling the wind through the jacket I've got on. Frankie, on the other hand, is loving this. She's bouncing around Nancy and then running off and coming back full speed, and Nancy laughs and then shakes her head and looks at me. Boone, you're freezing. Just show me where you were standing, and then let's go back down to your house, and you can tell me about it there. I take her around to the part of the yard I was standing in when I saw the thieves, and she looks real quick and then says, Okay, let's go. This wind's about to cut me in two. It's about to cut me in two as well, so I head toward the truck. She gets in her car, backs out, and turns down the hill. I get Frankie in the front seat with me, and we follow her down, being careful of the ruts and bumps. I don't want to break that glass jug. When I pull into the yard, she's already standing by the kitchen door. I wave her over and hand her the rifle. Her eyes get real wide, and she says, Why are you handing me this, Boone? I got other stuff to carry, I say, picking up the glass jug. I decide the charcoal will be all right until later. No rain in the sky, and it's still early in the day. She looks at the jug. What's that thing for? Let's get inside, Nancy, I say, and she turns and heads toward the house. When we get inside, I put the glass jug on the table and take the rifle from her. Come on in here, I say, and head for the living room. She sits down beside me on the couch, and I say, Don't you want to get out of that coat? Oh, yeah, I guess so, she says. Stands back up, takes off her coat, and sits back down. I hand her the rifle and point at the metal plate. Does that mean what I think it means? Nancy laughs. Silly, I don't know anything about guns. Then she looks at the metal plate, lays the gun down on her lap, and wipes it with her fingers, looks at it again, and then looks up at me. Boom, this is when this was made? I shrug, I guess so. I don't know anything about this kind of stuff either. But that would mean this is almost 150 years old. I nod. She hands it back quick. Where did you get that? It must be worth a lot, don't you think? I sit back on the couch. How much do I tell her? I realize that I really want somebody to talk to about this, and I have nobody. Gamaliel was the one I talked to, and I didn't do that much. Now he's laid up, and she's sitting right here in front of me. What the hell? Okay, Nancy, you can't tell anybody about any of the stuff I'm about to tell you. You have to promise. Her eyes narrow. Boone, have you done something wrong? Are you in some kind of trouble? There is no way she could possibly know about Daddy, but the question still scares me. I almost decide not to go on with this, but I feel like I'm already too far into it to stop now. You have to promise, Nancy. It's important. She takes a deep breath and then nods. Out loud, say you promise. You're starting to scare me, Boone, but okay, I promise. She sits there, and so do I, for a long time. Well, she says. Okay, the gun is Gamaliel's. You know he's in the hospital, right? She nods, not taking her eyes off me. Okay, well, yesterday I was in his room, and when Carrie, that's his daughter, when Carrie left the room, he said that I should look around in the shed, and if I saw anything that I felt like needed to be down here instead of up there, I should take it with me. I don't understand. I'm not going to tell her what an asshole Jerry is, even though I think that part of what Gamaliel's worried about is him getting his hands on some of Gamaliel's stuff. I think he's worried ever since those guys were coming around and trying to break into his place. But you told him they got caught, right? Yeah, but I think he's still worried. Anyway, just before you got there, I was looking around and this was on the top shelf way back. I think he was afraid somebody would steal it. Why did I have to promise not to tell anybody about that? I look past her into the kitchen and she turns around, looking over her shoulder. What's that big jug for? That's actually the part you can't tell anybody about. Remember, you promised. She looks down for a second and then looks up at me. I realize I'm still holding the rifle and I lean it against the couch behind me. Okay, so tell me the rest. I hope you enjoyed this installment of the Boone series. The background music you hear is The Wind That Shakes the Barley, played on a Masterworks hammer dulcimer. If you can't wait to find out what happens next, or you want a copy for yourself, the Boone series and all my other books are available on my website, housemountainviews.com. I also encourage you to support any independent bookstores in your area. Stop by and ask for the title you're interested in. If they don't have it, they can probably order it for you. Thanks for spending your time here at House Mountain Views. Y'all take care of yourselves and stay in touch.